before I read our second scripture for today, you guys don't get the pleasure of watching Barbara's face when she is directing. It is so delightful, and it brings joy to my heart. So we get the pleasure of watching it, but thank you. Whew. Our second passage for today comes to us from 1 Thessalonians 5:1-11. Read with me. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there is no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of the light, children of the day. You are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet of hope and of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, as indeed you are doing. Holy wisdom, holy word. Before I dive into the passage today, I wanted to share with you a privilege that I had this last October. Some of you may know this, but my dad is the athletic director for the Waldorf School, the Summerfield Waldorf School, and which is a very unique job since they don't technically believe in competition. Think about it. But if anyone can do it, my dad can. He's been there for 9 years now. And he was looking for a volleyball coach. And to coach at the high school level, you have to be 21 and older. And it doesn't make I'm not exactly sure why, but it's cool. 21. And he could only find a girls' volleyball coach that was 19. And he goes, "Cassie, I have a job for you." I was like, no. I've never played volleyball except for at camp or on the beach, and I'm not that good at it. And he goes, "Oh, no, I just need you there for the age." Seriously? Oh, man, I guess this is going to happen more and more. But it was so much fun. So I was really just there in case one of these high school volleyball girls, you know, twisted her ankle or, I don't know, ran into someone or blood came involved. But really none of that happened. And I got to hang out with these beautiful, amazing, delightful, joyful high schoolers and go to their volleyball practices and go to their games. I learned how to keep score, which is very complicated. We can talk about that later, but it was this beautiful process where I got to go and I just got to be with these girls. And I think the best part was the connection that I got to make with Eden. She's the 19-year-old coach who killed it. She was amazing. Because this was the first year that this group of girls, that this school has ever had a volleyball program. So not only did she have to teach the girls how to play, she had to teach them the culture of volleyball. there's like ritual up and down volleyball games. You have to get in a certain line. If you're playing for the first group, you have to get in a certain line. And then if you're not playing on the bench, you get in a different line before the game. And then the girls that are on, they run in a circle and you high five. And you're just like, I don't understand what's going on. But it was this beautiful process of learning for these girls and for Eden, because she had the opportunity to learn how to teach culture. There's cheering in volleyball. It's important, apparently. Like, if you get an ace, there's like a wah, wah, and you're like, why? I don't know, but it's exciting. And you are ready, and it's super fun. And at the practices, Eden would talk to the girls, and all six of the girls would be out on the court, if this was the court right here. And they'd be all out there, and they'd just kind of be standing there. And you'd be like, girls, come on, show me you're ready. And she'd be there, oh. And then they'd get in their position, you know? And they're like, ha, ah, you know? And they get really into it. And they're like, ah, show me you're ready, you know? And finally, they really started to get it. They started to understand that you have to be ready all the time when you're playing volleyball. And she would always say, wish the ball comes to you at every serve. She's like, you don't know where the ball's going. Wish it comes to you at every serve. So you gotta be at the ready. Show me you're ready. I mean, it was very intense. I learned a lot. And so these girls were constantly learning how to be at the ready. And when I read this passage in Thessalonians, I felt like it was Paul reminding us, be at the ready, you know? And it's like, ah, okay. But in like an encouraging way, right? So it was this, woo, not falling. So it was this process of these girls learning to be at the ready. And I think this is Paul reminding us that we have to be at the ready. Now, the problem I have with this passage, because you're allowed to have problems with the passages, if you didn't know, I don't like talking about the day of the Lord. I realized this as I was reading it. I know, don't tell all of the people. But I have a problem with it, because people get distracted. People focus so much on when Jesus is coming back that they forget to read the rest of the text. They get so focused on the day of the Lord is arriving, and there's sandwich board signs involved, and there's people on the side with picket signs, and there's actually a man in Southern California where I used to live. My uncle has a church in Redondo Beach. I have a lot of uncles with churches. My uncle has a church in Redondo Beach, and there is a man there that everyone just calls the Jesus man, because he literally decked out his entire RV with streamers and signs that just say, like, the day of the Lord is near. Repent now. There is no time like the... I mean, it's very overwhelming. And then when you talk to him, it's just very much, do you know the Lord? And you're like, well, yeah, I do. And he's like, it doesn't seem like it. I didn't know. But it feels like he's forgotten the rest of the passage. You have to keep reading. And so in this passage, we keep reading. And that's why I have a problem with it, is because it's done so much harm. And even Jesus said in Matthew Matthew 25, he said, nobody's going to know, but be at the ready. There's a theme here. Pay attention. A theme. And it's an identity issue. This is what the rest of this passage goes into. Don't forget who you are. We're the church. Don't forget who you are. And the way we remember we're the church is that final verse. that talks about us needing to encourage each other. Now, encouragement can get a little wonky sometimes. have you ever heard of a backhanded compliment? I've done it. It's not very kind. Be like, oh, you know what? I remember when you were just a beginning Christian. You were just such a mess. But now, look at you. No, that's not the encouragement we're talking about here. But let's take a second to look through this verse a little bit differently. This is what I call the Cassie version of the text. You will not find this in any other translation. But this is how I read this passage. When all things seem fine, be vigilant. Don't become complacent. When life turns from peace to chaos, remember that you are not in darkness. Remember, you are beloved. Remember, you are in light. So wake up. Don't be lazy in your faith. Show me you're ready. When you are awake and ready, we represent Christ's love and death with integrity. So to spread Christ's message of love, we must support and encourage each other to be the church always. Now there's one more part of this passage that I need to remind you of is a little different than what the translation says. It talks about drunkenness and sober. Now, this isn't about alcohol. Surprise. Some people take this passage and they say, well, that means that no one should ever drink alcohol ever in the entire world. And it has become problematic for a lot of people. When they're talking about sober in this passage, when you look it up, it's not talking about drinking, you know, a nice glass of wine, which being in Sonoma County, come on. What it's talking about is having a clear head, being serious and thoughtful. And so the opposite that they're talking about in this passage is having a fuzzy head, not being serious and being thoughtless. And what happens when we allow ourselves to be thoughtless and fuzzy and not so serious is we often forget that we are the beloved and that we are in the light. We are the beloved and we are in the light. And I have to say that when our peace turned to chaos recently in these past coming months, we were the church. Ooh, I might cry a little bit. We were the church. I don't think I was necessarily ready for what chaos came our way. I don't think any of us were. But because of the way that we choose to live our lives, we choose to live our lives in a way that expresses Christ's love with integrity. We were ready to love. And I think we did a great job. The truth is we're not done yet. We're not. We have a lot more love that we have to show. We have to. The work is going to get harder as we begin to rebuild. The grief is going to get deeper as people start to sift through things. The lament is, we're going to need space and room to lament. Whew. I still need space to lament. So we have to show everyone in our community that we are ready. And how do we show that? By encouraging each other in our faith so that we are all ready to love. We need to be awake. We need to listen, and we need to act. What I mean by awake is don't close your eyes to what is happening around you. Pay attention. I'm learning more and more about the local newspapers and the local websites that are talking about what's happening around us. Paying attention to those things. Listening, Pastor Cindy and the staff are paying attention and wanting to get you guys information soon about how we will rebuild and how we will move forward as a community. So this is a great place to get more information and stay alert to what's happening around us. Listen. And when I say listen, I mean pray. Pray your hearts out, because lamenting is bemoaning and whining and complaining and yelling for the sake of the relationship. And God can handle it. God wants to know what's on your heart, because God wants an actual relationship with us. So we need to pray and ask for guidance, even in the midst of lament, even in the midst of grief, and even in the midst of rejoicing and delight. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit guide us when we get this information. Some of us are totally going to be on board with rebuilding and being the one that's throwing the hammer. I know Dennis and I actually had a great conversation about how he's stoked to get back here and help rebuild. I know that I've had conversations with Chris and the work that he's doing about literally throwing a hammer. Well, not throwing it. Maybe it's just hammering. That would be bad. We're not Thor, so. But some of us have limitations in that area. Our bodies can't do that. And that's okay. But the question is how do you show love when these things come up? So we not only need to pray on our own, but we need to pray with each other and find out how we can support each other when this rebuilding is happening, how we can support each other when other aspects of our lives seem to show up. We need to pray, and we need to listen. And after we listen, we need to act. Do it. Follow through. Follow through with the love that's been, the path of love that's been shown to you. Follow through and invite a friend to do it with you, because it's more fun when you do things with a buddy. It just is. And then the two of you, or five of you, or 10 of you, or 33 of you, get to share and encourage each other in that moment. You have the opportunity to say, oh, remember that one time when we did that one thing and then that family felt super loved? And you're like, yeah, I do remember that time. And it gets exciting and it's contagious. And there's delight. Now, I'm going to actually invite the ushers to come forward. And they're going to hand you out a card. And on this card, it has the statement, the only way to be ready for whatever life brings is by intentionally encouraging the other to remember that they are the church in all they do. And so on the flip side of that card, and it also has a brief abbreviation of our passage today as well. And on the flip side of it, we're going to listen to a song in a couple moments. And this song is called A Song for the Family by Gungor, which is a worship group. And it's kind of a song of confession, a song for when the church has failed at following through and loving well in moments that are big and in moments that are mundane and ordinary. And what I want you to do is, while the words will be played up on the screen, But I want you to take some time and think about ways to encourage one another in your faith. And I may give you some cheaters. Westminster Woods is having a women's retreat and a men's retreat. Awesome way to encourage one another and get away to the forest and encourage one another in their faith. The women's retreat is in January and the men's retreat is in February. Another way to encourage each other in faith is when you see someone that is doing something of love, say, "I saw you." High five. Maybe you don't high five, that's fine. So now those were three ways, but you gotta use different ones. I'm not doing your homework for you. All right. And then the other question that's on there is that we have to take responsibility for ourselves as well. So what is a way that you can remind yourself that you are the church wherever you go? And maybe it's putting this card up so it's the first thing you see in the morning. Maybe it's deciding, you know what? I'm going to go to one of those video classes that Nita leads, because they're really cool. And it's a way that I'm going to grow in my faith. Now again, no cheating. I just gave you two. You have to come up with your own. The only way to be ready for whatever life brings at us is by intentionally encouraging each other to be the church in all we do. We're not going to know when the day of the Lord is. Jesus even said so. So show me you're ready. Show me you're ready by the way that you choose to live your life, by encouraging one another around you to continue to be the church in the world. And what I mean by that is by loving people well and as Christ loved. So in a moment, we're going to listen to this song. And I ask that this be your prayer. May this be your prayer.
This is a song for my family outside the walls of Sunday morning. From some thank you. inside the walls of Sunday morning. Be what you should be.
Let us be what we should be. Beloved, let us be the church. Amen.